Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. The month of March is on. The students are finishing their examinations. And there are so many who are planning for their vacations. And one of the things that many plan, especially Sai students in their vacations, is somehow spend their time usefully. Spend their time going to some Sai center or spend their time doing some service, if not to anyone, serve your parents. In fact, that was one of the things that Swami always told the students when the vacation was about to begin. He would say that when you go home, serve your parents, make them happy. And Bhagwan says, when it comes to service, you should begin with that. You should begin with parental service. There is nothing greater than being of use to your father, to your mother, as Bhagwan says. All the four things, important things in our life have come from the parents. Some used to say your food, your blood, your head, and the money. Food do, head do, dud do, blood do. That's how Bhagwan used to say. All these four have been given to you by your parents, and the first duty that you have is serving parents. Service begins at home, just like charity begins at home. So today I would like to dwell a little more on this aspect of service and continuing from what we did the last episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. In 1968, there was a cyclone which came as a ruthless slap on the face of the poor people of Orissa. Cyclonic winds and torrential rains did not merely disturb normal life, but they took a heavy toll in the coastal areas, leaving behind many homeless and destitute. People barely managing to survive the onslaught of that incessant rain. This is 1968 cyclone. And they were just watching helplessly as their cattle, their homes, their possessions were just swept away by the merciless forces of nature. All means of communications had been cut off. Government officials were taking an aerial view of the destruction, while people below were hoping against hope to get some help. Social workers were trying to reach the victims, but the heavy rains and winds prevented them from doing so. Seva workers, even the Seva dals of the Satya Sai Seva organization, they were trying their best to reach the victims and offer aid. And one such group of volunteers reached the outskirts of a remote battered village with packets of food, medicines, clothes and blankets. And when they arrived at the village, it was past noon and the entire area was submerged. It was drizzling. So the volunteers stood at the gate, hoping someone would come forward to show them where the survivors were most in need of their services and goods. They are hoping someone would come and guide them because the whole area was submerged. Finally, some villagers saw the volunteers and they came running. And the volunteers thought that probably help finally has come now and they would be directed to where they could be of most use. Where people are stranded and where people have been hungry. But the moment this group of villagers came, they were unruly. They began snatching and grabbing the food and whatever the items these volunteers had got, and the volunteers were dumbstruck. They didn't know how to pacify this group of villagers, whom to control, how to control, and to add to all this, they were getting drenched. It was raining. They were exhausted. Somehow they pacified the villagers and just then, when the Sevadals were wondering what to do, a young girl appeared and perhaps 13, 14 years of age, and somehow she had that magic about her. She pacified the villagers and she told them sweetly the necessity of being patient and being disciplined and how they should help this volunteers team to carry out their mission. In fact, it was she who enabled the volunteers to reach those with the most urgent needs first, such as first aid, medicine and food. And you know, she helped organize the entire rescue mission. And when the villagers became impatient, she was the one who spoke a few kind words. You know, she knew all these people and she told them to be patient. She lent a helping hand also in the distribution of food packets and medicine. And throughout the day, She was the one who led this team through the muddy and flooded roads to every nook and corner where people who needed help, where people were who required help. And at the end of it, she looked tired, and her face, she looked tired, but her face was always radiating with that kindness, with that gratitude. So the team finished their work of distribution and they sat down for rest, and the girl had now disappeared the scene because the team members had finished their job and they were just relaxing now to have their food. But suddenly one of these team members recollected that this girl who has been guiding them, she had not had anything from the morning. In fact, she was all the time with them. She was the one helping them distribute the food, but she had not taken any food for herself. So they went and located this girl and they asked her why she had not taken one food packet for herself when all this distribution was going on. And hesitatingly, this girl said that her guru had told her that duty towards others should be the primary concern. And when that duty is fulfilled, her guru had said, God himself will take care of her needs. This is what the girl said. My guru has told me that our duty is to always help others, and when we do that properly, God will look after us. And the Sevadals, when they heard that, they themselves were having their food, but here is a girl who was not even asking for a packet, and she was more willing to help. She was less exhausted than them. She was more energetic than them, and saying that this is what service means to her. They were, of course, dumbstruck, and I mean, such a little girl staying in such poor conditions, but imparting them the knowledge of the highest teachings and her implicit faith in the words of her guru. They were amazed. They wanted to know who her guru was. So they asked her, who is your guru? I mean, who is it that taught you these things? And the girl said, actually, I have not met I have not even seen my guru personally. But I have this photo which was given to me by my teacher who stays in the nearby town. The team members got more curious and they asked her, okay, at least do you know the name of your guru even if you have not seen him? And the girl said, yes, his name is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And she continued, I am a Balvika student. And she said that with such a firm tone and with actually such happiness and pride. And it was her Balvika's teacher who had told her that her true guru is Baba, and Baba would always take care of her. And needless to say, the Sevadals, they were in tears. You know, looking at that statue, she was a statue, a small beautiful statue of selflessness, which was carved by that universal guru, Jagat Guru, Bhagwan Baba. And that is how the Sadguru creates and transforms us and makes us what he wants us to become. He wants us to become that sparks of love. He wants us to become those examples of service. Bhagwan on one occasion said, duty with love is desirable. Duty without love is deplorable, but love without duty is divine. And when you see this little girl, hers is a journey from duty with love, which is desirable, to love without duty, which is divine. When you go beyond the call of your duty, then it becomes divine. When you go beyond the call of what is expected of you, when you go stretch yourself a limit to the limits to help the other person, when you innovate, when you think, what is that extra thing I can do to make that other person happy? Okay, I'm asked to do this service, but can I do it in a much better way? Can I add something to it so that it becomes even more beautiful? When we constantly think of this nature, when our heart beats and beats only for others, then it becomes not just duty. Swami says, love without duty becomes much beyond duty. That is the stage when it becomes divine. And the last Thursday, if you are listening to Outside Inside, Deep Inside, I played for you the first episode of a conversation that I and Harishankar had with Dr. Narasimhan. It was the first episode of our series called Inspired Lives, where Dr. Narasimhan, who is the director of the Sri Sathya Sai Mobile Hospital, shared about the award, the CNBC award, that this hospital received recently in a prestigious function in New Delhi. But he went on and then narrated what is it that drew him to service in the first place and what is it that inspired him to make service the mantra of his life. But there's plenty more that Dr. Narasimhan shared, and this is what I definitely want to share with all of you, because everything that he spoke, all the interactions that he have had with Bhagwan, all those moments when he felt his presence, all those instances when he innovated to reach out, and all those instances when he witnessed these medical miracles of love, all those instances when he learned that all that matters in life is hard work, but hard work with devotion, then everything else is taken care of. So all these beautiful lessons are so much latent and patent in whatever he said. And this is what I want to play for you on this last segment of this Thursday Live. You are listening straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.
So welcome to Outside Inside Deep Inside, and as I mentioned, today we are going to listen to the part 2, the second part of the episode Inspired Lives, the conversation with Dr. Narasimhan, his life, his inspiration and the lessons that we learn from a life dedicated to Sai service. Harishankar, a colleague of mine who works in the Central Trust, hosts along with me this series called Inspired Lives. And so, let me now take you to the second part of this conversation, as I mentioned, with Dr. Narasimhan. You will not be the same person again at the end of this session.
So, going back to the guidance which Swami gave you, so he was mentioning when you were trying to talk about expanding the service, Swami was talking about events back at home. So, for you, it must have been a very difficult task for you balancing the service as well as giving time to the folks at home. So in this respect, what is your view? Because there are many people who would like to dedicate themselves so totally to service,
so correct,
that they forget about the family. But Swami is emphasizing this balance. What is your experience in that regard?
Yeah, you know, like for example, as a father, I know very well in what way and how much should I do for my children. Like, I may not have taken care of the luxurious interests which children normally have, like they should have the latest mobile, all these things. But I have, to a very great extent, seen to me that 17 days when I am there at Hyderabad, I really take care of them and, if possible, try to compensate my absence. And secondly, as far as my wife is concerned, to start with, I put it in a very humorous way. I told her, as per our dharma, our culture, wherever the husband goes, the wife should follow her. So ideally speaking, you should also come along with me to Puttaparthi. If you don't do that, at least don't stop me from going. And in a lighter vein, I told them, especially when Swami tells that, and if you don't obey it, you know, you will be in problems in your future life. And even Mr. Rommel, initially, who was so particular that I should not take voluntary retirement, whenever he used to come to my house, my father used to tell me, Romal Garu, he is saying voluntary retirement. VRS tiskuntanen. VRS it is called.
You voluntary retirement.
So Mr. Romal said, VRS means we are Sai. But then he caught hold of my shirt and told me, unless Swami tells you, you should not leave your job. And when it happened, Mr. Romal was the first, you know, to write to my father, my miss, everybody, saying now it is the duty of Dr. Narasimhan to obey to that order. And he also said, now at this phase of Bhagavan's avatar, very few people are being told, especially doctors, by Swami himself to come and join. Normally these people who join, they put an application to the director or the administrator, and then that director takes the letter to Swami and Swami approves it. But here is a situation where Swami himself has told him so clearly. He told my father, we don't have any choice. But the question which Hari asked was, how are you able to balance things? I know it's a difficult task, especially my own psyche. For 15 days here, I forget everything. Really, telling you, I forget about the day, the date, what it is, festivals or birthdays, anything. But when I go there, suddenly everything is, you know, like when a train goes off from one track to the other.
Yes.
Everything is so. And reconciling to this fact really took me a lot of time, especially to my own psyche, about which I can't tell it to anybody. And if I tell that to my missus, she may again, you know, tell, Nona, as I told you, you better be here only, don't go for sale. And coming back to again what you asked, I have a very good support system in Hyderabad. I have been a very good friend to so many people. And if anything urgent is required at my place, there are people, my friends, who would just reach in 5 minutes or 10 minutes time. And indeed, even now they are doing that. And my wife is absolutely conscious of that fact. And in fact, she says, when you are there, certain things don't happen. When you are not there, it happens immediately.
In fact, one incident I recall. So one early morning, I got a call from Mr. Chakravarti, who was the secretary of the Sathya Sai Central Trust at that time, and presently the member secretary of the Board of Trustees. So he gave me a message from Swami saying that morning Swami, as he passed by the vehicle which used to be parked in the Kulwant Hall, he had noticed a small scratch on that vehicle. So immediately some of us as a team, we went and we looked as far as possible. We could not really locate a scratch. But the effect of that was, we got the immediate message that Swami was looking at that bus so minutely that such was his gaze on that vehicle. Yeah, that, actually we sent it to the workshop and anyway, you know, got it checked overall. But the point is that after that, it became very clear to us that the upkeep of that particular bus was so much on Swami's mind that we could not leave anything to chance.
Oh my God.
So, you know, we have continued to...
It's almost like Swami is coming to have darshan of that bus.
Yeah.
Yes. Swami always used to insist that the vehicle be parked there. Normally,
yes.
When Swami is sitting there, as you know, yes. Even an ant cannot enter with it.
Yes. So the vehicle has had more darshans than many of the devotees.
And in one speech of Professor Venkatraman, the way he described the mobile hospital bus, how it enters,
yes,
and he doesn't like using mobiles, but this mobile is something different.
Yes,
I heard it. It's really very interesting.
Of course, Professor Venkatraman is someone who is very fascinated about this project.
So going back to the guidance which Swami gave you, so he was mentioning when you were trying to talk about expanding the service, Swami was talking about events back at home. So for you, it must have been a very difficult task for you, balancing the service as well as giving time to the folks at home. So in this respect, like, what is your view? Because there are many people who would like to dedicate themselves so totally to the service,
so correct,
that they forget about the family. But Swami is emphasizing this balance. What is your experience in that regard?
Yeah. You know, like, for example, as a father, I know very well in what way and how much should I do for my children. Like, I may not have taken care of the luxurious interests which children normally have, like they should have the latest mobile, all these things. But I have, to a very great extent, seen to me that 17 days when I am there at Hyderabad, I really take care of them and, if possible, try to compensate my absence. And secondly, as far as my wife is concerned, to start with, I put it in a very humorous way. I told her, as per our dharma, our culture, wherever the husband goes, the wife should follow her. So ideally speaking, you should also come along with me to Puttaparthi. If you don't do that, at least don't stop me from going. And in a lighter vein, I told them, especially when Swami tells that, and if you don't obey it, you know, you will be in problems in your future life. And even Mr. Rommel, initially, who was so particular that I should not take voluntary retirement, whenever he used to come to my house, my father used to tell me, Romal Garu, he's saying voluntary retirement. VRS Thiskuntanen. VRS it is called.
Voluntary.
So Mr. Romal said, VRS means we are Sai. But then he caught hold of my this shirt and told me, unless Swami tells you, you should not leave your job. And when it happened, Mr. Romal was the first, you know, to write to my father, my missus, everybody, saying now it is the duty of Dr. Narasimhan to obey to that order. And he also said, now at this phase of Bhagavan's avatar, very few people are being told, especially doctors, by Swami himself to come and join. Normally these people who join, they put an application to the director or the administrator, and then that director takes the letter to Swami and Swami approves it. But here is a situation where Swami himself has told him so clearly, he told my father, we don't have any choice. But the question which Hari asked was, how are you able to balance things? I know it's a difficult task, especially my own psyche. For 15 days here, I forget everything. Really, telling you, I forget about the day, the date, what it is, festivals or birthdays, anything. But when I go there, suddenly everything is, like when a train goes off from one track to the other.
Yes.
Everything is so. And reconciling to this fact really took me a lot of time, especially to my own psyche, about which I can't tell it to anybody. And if I tell that to my missus, she may again, tell, no, as I told you, you better be here only, don't go for seher. And coming back to again what you asked, I have a very good support system in Hyderabad. I have been a very good friend to so many people. And if anything, urgent is required at my place, there are people, my friends, who just reach in 5 minutes or 10 minutes time. And indeed, even now they are doing that. And my wife is absolutely conscious of that fact. And in fact, she says, when you are there, certain things don't happen. When you are not there, it happens immediately.
In a sense, what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
But I think what Swami is also saying in one way is that there is a duty which we owe to God, and there are duties which God has given us in form of looking after our parents, looking after our spouse, children. So in every sense, there's a duty. So when he says detachment, it does not mean abandoning one's duties.
Very correct.
But doing it in a sense that it is a duty to be done.
It's a difficult task, to balance all these things. And here, especially as you said, when you mentioned about parents, when my father passed away, my mother could not take it. Because as a doctor, I know the fact that, if individuals lose their partner when they're young, it doesn't really affect, I feel, because, for example, the lady has now to take care of the children, she has to seek a job and things like that. But in old age, when for them one is the world for the other, if they lose, if one of them goes away, they become very depressed. As a doctor, I have seen this. So for 13 long months, I used to bring my mother every day to Puttaparthi during my seva period. Because when my wife goes away to office, there will be nobody at home. So, and it was a very big task, bringing her, and because she couldn't walk in a wheelchair, right from the place where I stay, we are staying in the first floor, first bringing her down, then taking to the railway station. There, you have to go to the end of the railway station, there only you can, cross the railway track, and then bringing her here, and then taking her care of her food, everything, and darshan, all these things.
So, this is in which years?
Recently, like my father passed away about 4 years back.
So, while you were doing the mobile hospital service, oh my God.
Yes, it was really a tough task for me. But after 13 months, again in that March interview, when I told Swami, Pratinela amma ni nato teeskostunanu, I am getting my mother. Led akkade undani, nenu unnanu kada, he said. Let her be there, I am there also. And in fact, one sort of an assistant, because my guru Swami Chidananda told me, don't call anybody as a servant. In one way, all of us are servants of the Lord. It's a sort of a undignified way of, addressing somebody. So I always use the word assistant. So the assistant who was helping out my mother, in the midnight when she woke for going to bathroom, she told us that she saw the form of Swami going into the other room. So just, Swami told us that, nena akkada unnanu kada, I am there. So from that point, I was not bringing my mother. But in between, just for darshan, I brought her for a few days after the mobile hospital program.
Right.
So as Hari says, we are born with a duty to so many people. But sometimes I have this controversy raging in my mind. Sometimes I feel that those days in that yuga, when the Vanaras were told to go and search out for Sita, some of them north, east, west, I don't know what was the period for which they did the search, but I am sure that they would not have been in a position to come back to their house at least once a month and see her.
Yes.
So here in this instance, at least 15 days. And I also told them very sincerely that it is ordained by Bhagawan. It is an order given by Bhagawan and we have to follow it. I never asked Bhagawan in that interview that I only asked him, Swami, Grama Seva gives us so much joy. The same joy I'm getting now in front of your this. So that is a great vara or a boon you have given Swami. But now I want to leave my job and plunge into Grama Seva there. Swami said, why...
This is when you thought of quitting...
2004.
When you want to quit central government service.
Yeah, I had brought a group of IAS, IPS officers, the heads of departments, and Swami in the morning gave interview, and they were all walking inside. I was the last. As I got up to go, Swami said, Neeru, you be, you don't come. And then Mr. Nitin, our Neerat's brother, who was sitting there, he said, perhaps he may call you separately. And that indeed happened in the evening. So at that time, I told Swami, I want to plunge into Gram Seva, I am getting so much joy. Then Swami said, why can't you continue your job and doing? I said, Swami, it is having its effect on my health. Then Swami said, Ledu, ebariki health chedipovuddu. Swami was saying, no, your health should not get spoiled. Then he put his hand like this, wrote something in the sky, and then told this. No, ikkada vachi super specialty hospital cheripo. Nikanto into jeetam isthanu. Then I told Swami,
you work in my hospital here in Puttaparthi. I'll give you salary.
Then I said, Swami sevaki eppudu jeetam nenu teeskolen Swami. Swami said, pillalu unnaru kada poshinchali. You have small children, you have to take care of.
So you have to take money.
Oh yeah.
You didn't want to take money.
Absolutely. So whatever it is, you know, I have been trying to also play that duty well. And with my mother especially, when she was remaining there, every day I used to make a point to make at least 3 phone calls to her.
Right.
Yeah, so that, you know, you keep her in good spirits. And my missus and children, I used to call them once a while.
In fact, as Hari brought out this point, frankly to share with you, sir, I have always seen you so engaged in mobile hospital work. And I've seen you in the villages and as well as here, constantly working. I used to always imagine that this is what is your life. I never thought that, you know, you actually have a family and you have 2 daughters. I thought it's very difficult for someone to actually manage a family and as well do so much service. And after I heard about that, that was a realization that happened only now. About 15 days ago, I came to know about this. So I happened to call and speak to your little daughter. So I asked her, your father works here for almost half a month, so don't you miss him? Are you comfortable with this idea that, you know, your father is not there with you for 15 days? How does it feel? And she said, no, it is fine. When my dad comes back, he compensates for it amply, and I know that if he does this, it is good for our family.
In fact, Swami has also said, you know, he said that if you look after my work, I will look after yours.
No, I was very surprised. She was telling that. She told that, yeah, if he does this work, it is, we will get Swami's blessings. So she is so convinced of that.
And indeed, if I am right, Swami has guided them in their careers.
Absolutely. Both of them. Because the first daughter, in a very old interview, he said, Entamandi pillalu neeku. I said, 2 daughters, Swami. I have named them as Satyasai and Prem Sai. Then he said, Pedakuthur ni em cheyalanukuntunnam. I said, me bhakturalaga Swami. Adi unda ni em cheyalanukuntunnam.
Yeah, if you can speak in English.
Yeah. So Swami asked me, how many children you have? I said, 2. I have named them as Satyasai and Prem Sai. Then Swami asked, what do you want the elder daughter to do, her career? I said, Swami, I want her to be your devotee first. Swami said, that's okay. But academically, what do you want to make her? I said, Swami, whatever you say. Then Swami said, Dr. Chepi, make her a doctor. Seva cheyalante, doctor profession minchindi edi ledu. There is no profession which is superior to the medical profession if you want to do seva. And the second daughter, in this March 2nd, 2010 interview, Swami, the topic somehow came to her. I didn't ask directly because my missus was initially very upset because this child is the more intelligent in the sense she gets better marks, always first and all. Because Swami said, a doctor vaddu, engineer vaddu. B.com chadipi, Swami told.
Neither doctor nor...
He was emphatic. He wanted to make it clear because our monkey mind may try to, you know, justify something and...
Generally in India, every parent will want their children to become either a doctor or engineer.
See, my father-in-law, who is a PhD from IIT Kharagpur, first PhD from it, he told me, no, let her do engineering first. And later, you know, you can also do this postal, what do you call that, open university BCom. And then let her do MBA. So thereby we can... I said, no, doctor vaddu, engineer vaddu, he said.
But Swami is told clearly.
Yeah, very clear. Very emphatic.
So that was sort of a disappointment for the family in some ways.
Yeah. But the child is very much in favor of following what Swami had told. And she wants to do chartered accountancy after BCom. She says CA means choice of the Almighty.
Oh, wow.
In that way, it's a very great blessing that they are all aligned with Swami's thoughts.
Yeah, completely aligned with the path that you have chosen. And in fact, I was speaking to Madam also, and she told me that your older daughter, she actually wants to do service after she finishes her medicine.
Yeah.
She's already into that spirit of doing something for society.
Because as Swami says, sir, no amount of your talking or giving speech, you know, will influence your children. The way how you conduct yourself, the way you lead your life, you know, if not today, tomorrow, it will become an open book for them.
Yes.
So the best thing which we can do to children is, I really don't talk about philosophy, nothing. I just feel I should be very loving to them. And now and then, you know, tell something a little that way more by stories.
Yes, in fact, that's exactly what the younger daughter said. I asked her, you know, all the interactions that you have with your father, what is that most memorable one?
Hmm.
You know, she said, I like it when my father tells me stories about Swami. And then the other thing I asked her is, what is that one quality of your father that you want to emulate in your life? And she said, I love the way my father surrenders everything to Swami. I want to be like that. So that is something, as you mentioned, you know, she sees what you are. You don't have to tell them anything. And I think you would have seen that in their lives, how so many transformations are happening just...
Absolutely, absolutely.
By observing you, they are becoming, Swami is grooming them.
As I told you, at the beginning of the service itself, I was very particular mentally that this service of Swami should differ from others in some way or the other. Just because it is free, we can't claim credit, because that is a boon which Swami has given, isn't it? Already He has made it free. Yeah, like in tennis, you are already one set up. But we should do something, you know, which people should say, ah, this hospital differs from other hospital. And so many points which I noted down and tell my colleagues also. A simple thing is, you know, you should not penalize a patient on any account. You know, many time it happens, you know, they don't bring their books, their card or so many old papers and all. They refuse to be seen. But in our mobile hospital, I am so clear and I keep moving about. And I heard in that our friend, your ex-student, Sashank, something.
Yeah, Sashank Shah.
He sends, you know, one place, you know, Swami is asking his students, what does MBA mean? So Swami himself then gives the answer, management by walking around.
Yes.
And he said, not only to an outreach service like us, but even to, you know, big industries, hospitals, you should not sit in your seat if you are the chief or the manager. You should keep moving. So that when you go to those different sections, and he said, that's not enough also. You should try to know what is going on in that. If not totally, at least, you know. So then you will command respect. Otherwise, they'll just respect you just because you are the CEO or the director. So that I like very much. And, you know, I keep moving in the mobile hospital and I like that. Guiding patients, because in any hospital, the challenge is how patients are being guided, you know. So it's like an ocean. The patient doesn't know where to go, what to do.
But as you were talking about this balancing our spirit of service with personal commitments at home, when you decided to quit central government service, you still had like 17 years of service left.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had this family, two daughters to look after. I mean, how easy was it for you to take that decision? And what really prompted you to, you know, take that leap of faith? Because there is a life ahead. You just want to get so much immersed in work, but you know, you have your responsibilities. And I don't know if your in-laws and everyone else were really supportive of that fact.
Yeah, in fact, I was a little worried about my in-laws. But believe me, even now, especially, they are so much convinced about it. That my father-in-law is not only PhD, but a man who has read a lot of Vedanta and, you know, that type. But he himself first, when he lifts the phone, he says, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, so many. That may not mean much, but if you ask me really at the depth of it, what it is which made, I think the immense joy which I used to get by my Gram Seva in Hyderabad, and the fact that there are so many instances which occurred which proved that it is Swami who really is at the core of the whole thing, and we are being used as some small instruments in the process. So that got fortified more after I came to Puttaparthi. But there itself, we were having so many instances where, you know, it happened that way. If you permit me, I'll just in a very brief way, I'll tell you of one incident in the medical field especially. This, the doctors, all of them in Hyderabad, in the Sai fold, they know about it. As I told you, when we used to do medical camps there, again, I didn't want to make it just a weekend excursion or a monthly, you know, picnic or something like that. Something concrete, we should do that. So we used to bring patients and admit them. So one young man was having a problem called pancreatic calculi, stones in the pancreas. And pancreas is called a venomous organ, because if you irritate it or stimulate it, it will throw out, you know, enzymes which will dissolve all the organs, just as burning of something.
Oh.
Yeah. So I in fact thought of avoiding this patient, and my good friend Dr. Ramulu, who was the head of the surgical wing of our organization there, he also said, let us avoid this because, you know, we are not sure. In surgery, when we do surgery, if somebody puts his hand on the pancreas, the chief would hit him with the whatever instrument he is carrying. Such a delicate organ it is. So he said, but this young man was a school teacher, he was behind us. So we went and asked Dr. Venugopal, who was one of the leading doctors coming to us. He was the HOD in Gandhi Hospital, the premier hospital of Hyderabad. Normally I used to tell him, sir, we'll get it operated in private nursing homes, because hospital means government hospital. These patients who come, they feel after all it is, you know, like are going to the government hospital. And not only that, the private hospitals, you are giving them a chance to do such things. And indirectly, you know, they get spiritually also benefited. So he used to agree. So we had about 9 nursing homes, one of which is Dr. Ramchandra Reddy or Dr. Geeta Reddy's nursing home. And but in this case, Dr. Venugopal told me, Dr. Narasimhan, we should not do this in a private nursing home. Let us do it in my own hospital. There, because my postgraduates, my assistants are all there round the clock. So anyway, the young man got operated. And he was about to be discharged on the 6th or 7th day. He developed a violent fever. And they told me when the fever was at its peak, his body itself was being lifted up and down. So much of shivering and all. So I rang up Dr. Venugopal. He advised some medicines. Maybe it's malaria which has superweened. And then again the night a phone call comes that he has passed about 0.5 liter of blood per rectally. That is through the anus. So immediately I rang up Dr. Venugopal, who told his assistant, give him some injections against that. But second day morning, I was in my duty. Dr. Venugopal rang and told me, doctor, again he has thrown out 1 liter of blood. Now he is very serious. We have to open up the abdomen. And it is because you, I have agreed to open the abdomen in such a very difficult state. Because what happens in medical practice, a table death, a death which occurs in the operation theater, anybody feels very bad about it. So Dr. Venugopal said, no, Narasimhan, because it's your village patient, I'll open the abdomen. Because the anesthetist is prepared to give BP, to give anesthesia, because I have told him. Normally anesthetists, if the BP falls very low, they will not give anesthesia. So Dr. Ramulu also went inside, and after 2.5-3 hours of heroic surgery, they brought him out ultimately. And when they had opened the abdomen, they found that the splenic artery, a big tube like which contains blood, that has got digested by the pancreatic enzymes.
Oh God.
So I expected the post-operative period to be stormy. This man was wheeled into the ICU, surgical ICU, but he started deteriorating. His renal function got compromised. Ultimately, he came to a stage what we call as multi-organ failure. And Dr. Venugopal came to me I had been to the hospital. He came near and said with his face down, I really did not expect this. And we had bought very costly medicines which prevent pancreatic activation. For a normal person also, sometimes they give that injection, sometimes they may not give. But here we bought and they gave. He said, I'm really feeling so bad. I'm going out as an examiner today. I'll come on Monday. Today is Friday. But I have no hopes. That's what he said. And what happened, one fine morning, doctor, when we were going to the Gandhi Hospital, I must have made about 80 trips to that hospital in my two-wheeler. When I went, we were about to go to the hospital, Dr. Ramulu with me. His daughter, who is a house surgeon there, came and told me, Dada, this patient is better now. Then Dr. Ramulu said, you're a house surgeon, what do you know about it? And we went. And even as I entered the hospital from a distance, I could see he looks better. Then when I went close, and his name was Tulsidas, and asked him, he was, you know, panting. He had fluid in the pleural cavity also. His lungs got compressed. So panting, he said, Ratri Swami Kampicharu. Swami Sambhashanam Istunaru. He is giving a speech and suddenly looked at me.
In the night, Swami appeared.
In his dream. Mm-hmm. Swami was giving a speech, but suddenly looked at me. I was sitting there only. That's all he said. Believe me, after that, the next day, and I had also called up Mr. Srinivas of Bangalore, because Swami was in Bangalore at that time, to just inform Swami. So first day he said, today some Kerala people have come for their Onam. I couldn't meet Swami separately, but take it from me, I will inform Swami by today evening. And then next day, still I rang up, he said, Swami has been informed. Swami did not say anything. So from the next day after the dream, everything got reversed. A multi-organ failure. Of course, he's a young man. If he's an older patient, multi-organ failure is equal to death.
Hmm.
But still, young man, he came out, and on Monday, Dr. Venugopal joked that when he entered, he imagined that some other patient will be in that bed.
Hmm.
But when he saw Tulsidas, he was so surprised, and when he went near, you know, he found him to be absolutely much better than what he had expected. So over a period of few days, he became completely normal. And now, you know, he's a very active member in our Satya Sai organization at Medak, the district where we did a lot of Gram Sevas. So in this way, I don't know how this started. I think my Gram Seva days, I was narrating the...
No, in fact, just after the new year, when I was talking to some of your associates who had come here for last month's medical camp, just at that time, they received a message from Mr. Tulsidas, wishing you a happy new year to them.
Right. Yes, they told me.
You were talking about this joy of service and divine intervention and how you decided to come to Parthi, you know, quit your government.
And he
service.
Is a teacher, you know, government school teacher. He takes Bal Vikas there in the school also.
Wow. I mean, you would have seen any number of such instances, I think.
So I think, you know, that was the reason you asked me, how is it you are so bold enough to... You know, give up a job and then leave everybody and come. So the joy which I used to get in Gram Seva, I told Swami all the same thing, was so immense and intense for me that especially, you know, everybody told, if Swami has called you, it's very rare, it's a privilege, you know. I felt that I should go. And my wife knows one thing, that if I decide something, I won't change. And if I take up some assignment also, only if I can do not the best, but the very best, I will accept to take it up. Otherwise, I feel that we should not take it up. Let it be government, voluntary, any organization. If you take up some assignment, you should do it perfectly. Otherwise, don't take it up. So here also for Seva, if some people come, I tell them, unless you are prepared to do the best, please don't come. There's nothing wrong. You can lead your own lives. You know, you can do something back at home. So that tenacious nature, plus my deep interest and love for Gram Seva, that really helped me in good stead to somehow give up the job. And even my colleagues there, you know, when they gave me the farewell party, they said, it looks very amusing that a doctor of age 41 years is now going to leave us and go.
Yeah, because even though you were 41, but you had actually reached the top of the ladder in that hospital. And at the peak of your career, you decided to quit.
Yeah.
And you being so young, and there is, I mean, the whole life is there, but you dedicate your service. In fact, when you are talking about this Gram Seva in the state of Andhra Pradesh, I heard that you traveled actually almost 60,000 kilometers doing service. I mean, traversing the length and breadth of the state. And that would have been such a huge amount of experience and tremendous hard work.
Yeah, you learn spontaneously how to speak to villagers. You learn the knack of convincing somebody. You know, in Seva, you need to have some, you know, knacks and tricks to, you know, make people walk along with you. So, and that happened, as I told you, the reason being, for every village service, we used to do two what is called survey. Visit the village and come back, sit with a cross-section of people there, tell them what the service is, tell them what you cannot do, tell them that you are not connected to the government or any other. In this way, talking to them the first two visits always was important in ensuring that they also join the seva. And then two times you go for the service itself, once you go, and then for the follow-up service. And then the last phase, I forgot to mention you, the 2 months of intense service involved setting up of Satya Sai Bhajan units or Bal Vikas centers, and them telling them that at the end of 2 months that you are not cut off from them. Anytime you have a problem, you come to Hyderabad, we'll try to take care. And sometimes what used to happen, children from that village, the adults used to come to Shivam, our mandir there, for such some programs, and they have enacted dramas there on the stage. Sometimes we used to go to the villages back again. It used to be all spiritual programs, nothing to do with the medical camp and all. So all this, you know, makes one so much happy, especially even when we are interested in it. And that was, I think, a very strong point, you know, which made me to immediately say yes and come.
After the occasion when you came back to Parthi after Swami appeared in your dream and sort of cured you of your paralysis and gave you a new birth, and after that you plunged into Gram Seva subsequently. But I think after that your visits to Parthi increased, right?
Yes, yes.
And so were there any chances of interactions with Swami during that period?
You mean in the interview room or?
No, your visits to Parthi and, you know, in the veranda or any other occasions where you had chances of interaction with Bhagwan, as even as we are engaged there in the Gram Seva, but you are not yet shifted to Parthi to engage in the mobile hospital.
Yes, after that, you know, I always used to come with a group of new doctors. New doctors means who had not seen Swami at all. And many a time Swami did give me interview in that phase also, 2005 to 1998. Two interviews he gave us. And on those occasions also, once I asked Swami, once again he said, "Nu baga seva chai," he told me. "Do seva very well." And then once I told Swami, "Me hospital nak chotu ivandi, give me a place in your hospital." "Tapaka," he said, "definitely." And as I told you, we all joked outside that getting a place maybe as a patient or as a doctor. I said, "It doesn't matter as long as get a place in my pay." And one good thing Swami once told me on one occasion when I asked him, "Can I do the degree in hospital administration course?" Swami said, "Manasuke edo chindo adi chai," meaning whatever you feel like you do. So Mr. Romil, my good friend, told me that Swami has given you more or less a green signal that whatever your mind is fairly sort of balanced and you can do whatever you want. So in these interviews also, whenever I used to show Swami, Swami used to just nod his head approving. But one subject, when the album, there was a photograph wherein we had built a temple. Then Swami said, "Idi chesaru parvale, it is already you have done this. But the actual temple is the human body. Aa temple ke ekva seva cheyandi. Do more sevas for that temple. The human body is the actual temple. And enno gudlu unnai, there are so many temples. You try to renovate them. Why do you want to build new temples?" So one aspect of Gram Seva which, you know, Swami was not keen on our construction.
You renovate the existing physical temples as well as renovate the body which is the temple.
Give more of your energy and your services to the human body, which actually is the temple in its highest form.
Fantastic. I think those are really such powerful directions from Bhagwan.
And once he told me, when I was getting up, it was a group, Swami looked at me and said, "Edi chesna cheppi chai. Whatever you do, you tell me and, you know, do." So I forgot to mention to you, from that point of time, I have the letter of writing letters to Swami for every, you know, of the program we take up or anything. Because as I told you, Mr. Romil told me that it looked logical, not because he told me. He said when you write a letter, the thought, word and the action, all of them, they reach Bhagwan's lotus feet. Whereas if you just close your eyes and pray, only the thought is going. And so, you know, this part of sadhana wherein the devotee writes a letter to Swami, I used to do all the time. And even now, for example. So, and there were occasions I was told, like, you know, once my friend Rajiv Mahajan carried a letter of somebody else, some Dr. Bhagwat who was in General Hospital. And Dr. Bhagwat said, "Rajiv, Swami interacts with you more than any one of us." He took the letter. Swami came near and told him, to start with, he scolded him, "Why are you taking others' letters?" And then he said, "Nu adi open chesi chudu, you open that letter and see. Dr. Bhagwat has given a resignation letter, but why should he give me? I am not the appointing authority. The appointing authority is the director. Tell him to give the letter to the director." And Raji was literally shivering, it seems, when he came back. Now that Swami told him, "See the letter," he opened and found the letter to be exactly the same. So the importance of letter writing, I always, you know, feel it, and I used to act in that way.
So whatever you want to say to the Lord, once you put it down, perhaps it sort of solidifies in you.
Crystallizes in you. And I felt that the spirit of surrender increases. Because you feel mentally you have given the problem to Swami. Like even now in the mobile hospital, sometimes some very important doctor, he drops out. So we make so many phone calls, and at the end, you know, when you write a letter, "Swami, we have exhausted all our efforts. It is you who should." I'm so sincerely telling, it has happened many, many or all times, you know, solutions have come where you really feel you cannot do anything beyond a certain point.
I think that is perhaps a daily experience, because I think in a task like this, challenges are numerous, and as you mentioned, every day challenges are unexpected. Yeah. And every day you see the hand of God.
And as you know, in the mobile hospital structure itself, I am the only doctor or the sort of who is available all through the seva. There is now a few doctors are coming every month, but initially, you know, they used to come for 4 days. And so to make them understand the entirety of the service, or, you know, it was not possible because they'll be for 4 days and they may not be much interested in it also. So that way it has been a difficult task.
And during your visits in the early years, in 97-98, you were mentioning earlier that there was an occasion when you attended one of the conferences here.
Yes, yes.
In 1997. Can you narrate that episode?
Yeah, it was not 1997, 94. I think.
94.
Yeah, because that was the time in Hyderabad where I was involved in good seva, like the drinking water camp, Narayan seva and all, medical seva. But it never occurred to me that I need to go to Puttaparthi also. The power of the darshan, all that, I came to know much later. So whenever Mr. Romal used to ask me, why don't you come to Puttaparthi, I used to say, no, no, I don't have that purity, I used to say. Then Romal sir used to say that only a patient goes to a doctor. Even if you don't have purity, it's all the more needed that you should go. But still, I used to evade. But once he really prevailed upon me and he said, I'll also come, we'll go. And, you know, in the city of Hyderabad, there are three different stations where the train traverses. So at a station called Begumpet, he came and gave me my ticket and said, now I am going. There is nobody between you and Swami, no broker, no mediator. Forget me totally. So I came to Puttaparthi. I was a little, you know, not with myself, and there was one Mr. Mohan Rao who was working in the intelligence department. He's a common friend to Romal and me. He said, don't worry, Narasimhan, don't feel that nervous that you're alone and nobody's there and all, but please be here for 2-3 days. And because the cardiology conference is going on, I will go and request the whoever is the head whether you can give a car to my friend doctor who is coming more or less for the first time. So they agreed, they gave me that, and I went and sat, but the last, you know, it's like a gallery in that university, that auditorium. Last, I wanted to quickly move out. There was an exit point at that place, the extreme end of the left side. Then, surprisingly, Swami came from that entrance. And when he came near, I was really startled. I put both my hands and said, Bhagavan. Then he moved a little nearer to me. He was looking at me intently. And then, without my knowledge, these words came out, Swami seva chese danke avakas vivandi. Give me opportunities to do seva.
It just came out.
Just came out. I didn't plan, I didn't expect. Then Swami showed his abhayahasta and went down. And he was sitting not on the stage here, like a revolving chair, and he was turning. I moved down from my first seat to a little down. I was now a little more curious. It looked as though he was seeing me many a time. And Swami then went to deliver a speech, and he delivered a speech where at one point, I was feeling, I'm sitting here, but I'm an odd man out. All are cardiologists, I'm a physician. Just at that minute, Swami was mentioning in his speech, Meeru Dr. Kalsi, right heart specialist, left heart specialist. You have diversified so much that there is one right heart specialist, left heart specialist, bottom heart. But all this you have combined and broken the human heart. I don't want such doctors. I want an integrated doctor, physician, vaidyudu. He should be able to tell what is the problem. He may not be able to cure it. Meeru cardiologist, after seeing anything, you write nil cardiac. Swami said, nil ekkada, ikkada, he said. So, so I was really amazed, you know. The very thought which I had at that point of time was immediately spoken by Bhagavan. That again made me much more curious. And in the evening, I went a little late. You know, they were allowing the doctors to sit there. So there was one Mr. Saha those days. So this Mr. Monroe, he was his friend, and he said, our doctor is coming a little late. But then he allowed me, I showed the card, I sat there. I was more or less at the end. And then Swami came near, and when he saw me, he put his hand on my head and pressed it. So these three things which happened in that visit, I think perhaps, not perhaps, would have really proved to be the turning point in my spiritual life, I think so.
After that, your longing for darshan of Bhagwan also would have increased.
Yes, definitely.
The spirit of service was always there, but now it was much more reinforced with the devotion for Swami. What were those other instances in your life which really made you fall in love with Bhagwan?
One small incident which occurred in an interview was, you know, the other doctors were young doctors. I mean, I was slightly elder to them. They were all, you know, Swami, when he is with the youngsters, he allows them everything, as you know. With elders, he is also a little more formal and all. So these youngsters were pressing Swami's feet and all. So I thought, I'll also do that. But then I thought, why should my hand go above and Swami's feet below? Shall I put my few fingers below his foot? And thereby, like how Ahalya got, you know, redeemed when Lord Rama put his leg on her, the stone which she had become. So I put my three fingers below, and instantly Swami looked at me and pressed his leg.
Wow.
So, you know, the concept that God is omnipresent, omniscient, all the attributes of God, I started seeing absolutely, you know, with no other evidence can, meaning if anybody gives me any evidence to the contrary, I cannot believe it. It was so powerful, it was so sure, that incident which occurred to me.
Wow. I think these are moments of revelation.
Yeah. And of course, as I told you, when, you know, I asked Swami, why don't you come to the hospital? He said, Pratik Shanam Nen Akade Unnan Kada.
And the other question that I wanted to ask you, because this again goes back to your early days of medical student. You had so many of your classmates and colleagues who had this opportunity to go abroad. So were there any chances of that nature for you too?
No, as I told you, when my brother passed away, that very instant I told my parents, I will not go abroad, I will serve you as two sons. So even though I was the university topper, like all the three medical colleges together, Gandhi, Usmania and Kakatiya, I was the topper. I didn't entertain any thought of going abroad, because I knew very well that if I go abroad, my parents would not be willing to come. Because by, you know, cultural reasons maybe, or whatever be the reason, I was so sure that I would. So I didn't have the thought at all to go abroad.
Because you want to serve,
yes,
serve your parents.
Yeah.
That was paramount.
Yes.
Even before you came to Bhagwan, serving parents was something that was like the mantra of your life at that time.
And always I used to love, you know, pressing their feet. Both of them used to have always leg pains. My father had a very bad arthritis. And when I used to do that, he used to say, there was one assistant in our house working, he also used to do that. He said, yours looks like a doctor's, his looks like a patient, the way he's massaging the legs. And about parental seva, if I am not going in a different direction, as I told you, there was one more instance which occurred in Satya Sai Vidya Vihar school in Hyderabad. I was not there in the audience, but I was told, meaning very correctly, Swami asked, it seems, ee audience lo enta mandi meeru talli tandrulani baaga chusukuntaru. How many of you are taking care of your parents in the way it should be done?
So we asked children.
Not children, the audience.
Audience.
The audience. So then some of them raised their hands. Then Swami asked, how many of you are not taking care of your parents? Don't feel shy or afraid. You raise your hands. And some of them did raise their hands. Then Swami told, it seems, that once a child is born first, it is the mother who, you know, receives the child. The nurse will give it to the mother. Then the mother with great happiness goes and shows it to the father. Then the father, after the child grows up, he takes him to the guru. And guru ultimately takes to God himself. So Swami said, it seems in these four steps, if you are not doing the first step, that is taking care of your own very mother, meeku rendo moodo dan nalgo dan meeda arahata ledu. You cannot think of going up further. Just as in a ladder, if you want to put your feet on the second step, first you have to, you know, traverse the first step and then you get into the second step. Swami told, it seems, talidandalu first step kabatti, if you don't take that in the way, in the sense that you take care of them, it is not possible for you to go to the next stage.
So you are far from God.
Yeah.
If you don't take care of your parents.
Yeah.
I want to ask you something else. To achieve anything grand and achieve something which really makes a difference in so many else's life, or to achieve anything great, I feel a person should have great discipline in life. Without that, you can't really achieve anything. This is my personal belief. And I completely think that there would be certain things in your personality which you never ever compromise. Maybe know some of those facets of your personality, you know, which in any circumstance you will never ever stray from that. And that is what sort of helped you to build the character that you are, which helped you in turn to do this massive service for Bhagwan.
Yeah, firstly, you know, it is the conviction about which you were talking. If we take up any subject, if I take up any subject, if I get convinced about it, then automatically the best part of my personality goes into the doing that activity. If I'm not convinced of it, I would never go near it. There is nothing like trying to do something and doing your best and all. No, you have to achieve the result. That is one thing. And secondly, after having come into this field of spirituality, when we always think that it is Bhagavan who does it, and Bhagavan is watching us, we cannot do anything negative. Even small things like you cannot behave in an arrogant way to somebody who is working with you. So this sort of a complete faith in Bhagavan and a surrender to him. And finally, I forgot to mention, I always believe in hard work. Let it be any assignment. You should work hard if you really want to achieve something. So like now in medicine, I am telling my daughter, just because you are intelligent, it is not that you will achieve the best. Hard work is necessary. And hard work is something which if done, you need not look for the fruit or the result. It comes automatically. Both are ingrained. One is ingrained the other. So I believe in hard work. And as you know, when I'm here in Puttaparthi, I literally forget everything about Hyderabad unless I get a phone call. And secondly, of course, to my mother, I used to call her. I'm so much deeply involved in it. So this sort of involvement, conviction, faith and surrender are perhaps the reasons which have made my personality as it is today.
In fact, that is what, interestingly, your younger daughter also mentioned. When I asked what is that personality trait of your father that always impresses you, she said it is his commitment. The same thing which your madam also said. So it is his commitment to any task that he takes up. Commitment is 100%, more than 100%. I think, as you mentioned that, once you have that much of commitment from your side, then there is commitment from God to look after you.
Like for example now, say after this interview, perhaps it may not be necessary for me to go to the village. Really speaking, you know, I have done some job here, I can stay back. But still, even if 1 hour is left, I go back to the village. Because I know for certain that being the only doctor available for all the days, and the methods which I use to get things achieved, I know if I go back, at least one I'll get, which will both benefit that patient and also give me happiness.
Wow.
And like yesterday it happened on a lady, you know. She's carrying twin pregnancy, and then she went to our hospital, and there they saw her old records of some other hospital. And already she's 7 or 8 months. Perhaps rightfully they said, no, we are not going to take you, even though she belongs to Puttaparthi Mandal. So then what I did was, I wrote a letter to Dr. Verma, telling him, yes, she has gone to some other hospital, but we as doctors know that you cannot stop anybody from going to any hospital or die. It's the right of the patient. I'll be glad, sir, if you can regularize this patient's file. So then what he did, I gave me my phone number. I took their phone number. And then in the evening, when I called her, she said, sir, they have accepted. So this case happened at the last minute, say, when we are winding up everything. So I feel today also I may be useful to somebody if I go there.
Even if you are there for 1 minute and you can
maybe,
help one patient.
Maybe, yes. Though there are perfect systems which work, even in my absence. My going there, you know, like some people are bestowed with certain talents. Like you may be a good singer, you may be. I have that knack of, you know, looking for alternatives in medical system, especially to get things done. You should have both the art and the inclination to think in different ways.
Yes.
If this not, what's the other thing?
Yes.
Like for example, you know, a couple of months back, there's one inmate of our ashram, Mr. Vittal, who it seems worked in that Dina Janonudra. So this gentleman came once to our village itself, though he can see us in the ashram. He was really gasping. He had what's called stridor. There is a growth in the larynx, and our general hospital right now doesn't have an ENT doctor. So what he needs is an immediate what you call tracheostomy. And the doctor who had seen him, one Dr. Faninder, is rated as our country's first voice surgeon. And he has his own hospital in Guntur. The moment Dr. Faninder saw, he said, Narasimhan, we have to do immediate tracheostomy. I don't know how we will get it achieved. This patient has to go to the hospital now. I'll also follow. And when I phoned up the hospital, because the ENT department is not working, they said they don't have those instruments. Then I thought for a while. Super specialty hospital, after all, has got ventilators. And when it has ventilator, after a week when you put somebody on ventilator, you do a tracheostomy and connect the ventilator to that. So super hospital should have. So I called them, I introduced myself. They said, yes, sir. So again, I called general hospital. I said, write a requisition and get it. In the meanwhile, Dr. Faninder is following. So Dr. Faninder reached and luckily she was saved. They did a tracheostomy. But then what happened was I promised the general hospital authorities that after tracheostomy, we'll shift the patient. They were afraid that there's nobody to take care of this patient who has had a tracheostomy. Dr. Faninder told them, no, I'll sleep here itself on the floor and I'll take care. But they said, no, there are other things to be done, like suction of this. So then a thought came to me, let me contact Dr. Satish. He is in Anantapur. There are so many hospitals, he may be knowing them. So I told Satish Garu, shall I send this patient? He said, yes, immediately you send. So we called for the ambulance and then we sent him. And then, this patient had a surgery also. When they came the other day to the village, I was so happy and so surprised, and such a remarkable cure. So what I mean to say is that, when working, if one thing doesn't work, you should always explore the possibility of alternatives. Because, I read somewhere that if problems are there, the solution also automatically is there. Everything in nature is dvanda. If there is light, there is darkness. So it is left to you to seek out and bring the solution.
Wow, that's so fantastic. In fact, I remember having a conversation with a doctor who is a cardiac surgeon, whom Bhagwan inspired to go into Ayurveda, and he's been studying a lot of Charaka Samhita, which has the foundations of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And in one occasion, Bhagwan told him that wherever there is a disease in the body, I have kept a solution next to it. Look for it. And he says he is actually now developing a lot of Ayurvedic formulations, though he is a practicing cardiac surgeon. But as his passion, he's been studying Ayurveda. But when you mention that wherever there is a problem, there is a solution, and you only have to sort of pray and innovate, and you don't know what beautiful ideas might emerge, because there is knowledge.
See, the other day we had a young girl with leukoderma, white patches. So our dermatologist said she asked for a particular ointment which was not available with us. So we rang up Puttaparthi, many medical shops, I sent Anjaneyalu to check up, it was not available. So that was the last day of the program. So what I told these people is they have come from Dharmavaram. So I asked the medical shop people whether you can arrange it in a time of 3-4 hours, the time by which I'll depart. They said if you give us 2 hours, we'll arrange it, sir. So then, because somebody, of their shop is starting from Anantapur, he will procure it and bring it. So then, but the last day, we can't make her wait here for hours together, and moreover, the medical work will end. So immediately a thought struck to me, because my train passes through Dharmavaram, let me give my bogie coach number and phone, so that they'll come to the railway station and collect it. And it did happen. And the moment train stops for at least, I think, 10 minutes in Dharmavaram, and the child came, and you feel so happy when...
Yes.
And you asked me what were Swami's special things which really made you... So once I heard Swami telling, written in a book, ee srishtilo oka cheemani kuda nu paripurnanga tripti cheste nenu tripti padipothanu. In creation, even if you can take care of everything an ant requires, and you satisfy that ant, I will feel satisfied. So, people like us, especially in the medical profession, who have, so much, it's a fertile land, there's so many avenues for you to really, please Swami or the Almighty. I think we should really take advantage of that. As he said, service is inbuilt in our, you need not go separately and search for some service.
In fact, before we move on to this, you were mentioning about hard work, and one imagery of mobile hospital, that is very much there. And whenever I think about your contribution and the time that you spend in the villages, this imagery always comes. Because I remember this was many years ago when I had just gone to see what happens in the evenings. And you were going on the village road. It's not a road. You can't call it a road. It's just a village pathway. And there was a trolley and the mic system there. And you were just, with a microphone, you're going around shouting at the top of the voice, and you're telling people to come for the evening health and hygiene camp and come for the next day program. I mean, you did that for 1 hour. I thought, which doctor would do that? You take a microphone and go on the village roads and you keep talking and shouting and telling villagers to come. And to me, that seemed like going out of the way is nothing. You're stretching yourself to limits. and exploring avenues to do.
In Hyderabad also, during our village service activities, we used to have one seva called the veterinary camp, as you know. So when these doctors used to inoculate the animals with vaccine, every village has some more satellite villages or something. But those people will not know and they may not bring their cattle. So what I used to take a TVS two-wheeler and go to those villages and motivate them to bring their, you know, animals for inoculation here. So, you know, these tricks or techniques of roping in people for their benefit, not for your sake, is something which we developed, which evolved rather over a period of time.
I remember Hari was in fact telling me that when he interacted with some of these people who have benefited from the Gram Sevas, when the woman used to come from Gram Seva, apparently used to give them lunch because they will not have time to cook food for their families. I mean, that is...
No, when I was coordinating the mother and child program of the Ishwaramba Trust, we used to do this literally because pregnant women, we used to always feel, you know, they'll be more hungry than anybody. And eatables were always made and they were made to sit in chairs. I used to feel making them sit down, though they have to do that at home, at least here when they have come, and it's going to be number of hours before the reports and all come. So we used to make them sit in chairs like honored guests and then serve them tea and eatables. Something, you know.
Though I think these little things is what shows the spirit of what you're doing.
The net meaning of all this is that we should make Bhagawan's service look entirely different from others. Not in terms of its quantum or anything.
Yes.
And in fact, the other day, one of my good friends who works with you, Mr. Neeraj, told me that is why perhaps Bhagawan has named it as Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences.
Yes.
Higher meaning maybe in terms of the, you know, the way people are treated or the values which are cherished. You know, it doesn't mean only the technology type. I felt it's very correct when he told me that.
In fact, yeah, that is true for all Bhagwan's institutions. Even the university is called higher learning.
Yeah.
And you have even the hospitals called higher medical sciences. But talking about service, there's one thing that I want to ask you, because this is something which was asked by someone. This person who asked me this question, he had to go and address some youngsters and they have no inclination towards spirituality or religion or God or service. Now, this is just a random group of youngsters. And he said, see, I want to go and address these people and inspire them to serve. But I don't know how to do it. Because, you know, if you tell them that you should serve because God will be happy, they say we don't care because they don't have any such of feeling for God. And you tell them that, yeah, service is what will make you happy. They'll know, we are happy doing what we are doing. We are very happy to see a movie. I mean, why are you asking it to serve? What will we get going out into the rural areas? What I'm asking you is, suppose you are confronted with this group of youngsters and they say, why should they serve? And what will they get out of it? What is in it for me? How will you handle that situation?
Yeah, the answer which, you know, to this question, which I was put to me at a different place also, basically, I tell them to start with, service is not a virtue. It is the law of nature, the rule of nature. You see, everything in nature, the trees, they gives its shade. The cow gives its milk. And between plants and us, we have a cycle. The plants release oxygen. We take oxygen and give out carbon dioxide. So, in that way, anything and everything is in nature is in the process of giving. Charity is the order of creation. So, that being so, you know, though you may say that if I don't follow this, will anything accrue to me? It may not be so. But still, if you are logical, scientific, you must get convinced, yes, everything is in the process of giving. Charity is the order of creation. And let me be by that. And coming in practical terms, what I noticed in Seva is, any amount of speech giving or this may not have that effect. If you can identify two or three in that group who are your friends or something like that, and take them and start doing something, you show something concrete, something positive, I am sure many people will rally around you. Otherwise, speech giving by itself may not help.
Yes. I think some of them should tell, okay, fine, you just come, take one day off and come to the camp.
And the best way of, you know, showing them is by exemplifying yourself. And once you do that, they feel convinced.
And I think that is how you have had so many young people who have joined the mobile hospital team. I think many doctors who have joined and the other paramedics and other volunteers, many of them are not devotees. And perhaps they are also people who didn't have any inclination towards service before. But they have just joined.
And I always feel that seva and business are obviously entirely different. In business, you would like to first assemble all the things that are required. You put 100 rupees and all and then do it. Whereas in seva, it is spontaneous. Two or three of you start doing it. And then seeing your seva and sacrifice, people rally around you.
Yes. And when the mobile hospital goes to the villages, we have seen how people sort of almost worship the bus. They do aarti and they sing bhajans and the bus is taking a position. It's almost like the divine come and you are like the messengers of divine angels who have come. So how does it feel when people sort of revere you and almost worship you?
Yeah. We feel it very odd. In fact, however much, like the other day there was one patient by name Anjinappa. He belongs to a village called Nidimamidi. He called me from Bangalore. He had a very severe lung problem, you know, which we got it solved and treated. And now he has got a job there. He works in some work wherein the generator has to be switched off and all only, not much. But he's happy because he's getting a good pay there. So again and again I tell him, Swami Daya, Swami Daya. He says, Swami Daya kani meer kuda unnar sir. You know, they try to, but then, you know, we try to again tell them, all these things, if they have to happen, it is only Bhagawan who can do it and not we. But they still stick to the point that, so here on the one hand you feel happy, but on the other hand it reminds you that even though Bhagawan will do everything, you have a great responsibility. And unless you do it to the extent possible by you, His grace may not flow.
If suppose Swami were to call you now for an interview and ask, Narasimhan, you are doing great work, what do you want?
I'll say the same thing which I told Swami, you know, when he, on a Shivaratri day, he materialized a Ganesha. I told him, Swami, idi kadu, not this. Wherever you are, in whichever avatar you are there, you keep me at your lotus feet for seva and give me seva. Because I don't believe much in the word mukti.
Liberation.
Because even I told you in the March 2nd interview, when Swami was putting a chain which he had materialized, I asked Swami, can I sing a song? And Swami said, yes, Sai Mata Pita Dina Bandhu Saka. Mujhe Shakti Do, Mujhe Bhakti Do. Then I stopped and raised my head and said, Swami, not mukti. But wherever you are, keep me at your lotus feet and use me for your seva. Swami patted me, you know. So that is what I would ask Swami even now.
You have had such an ennobling life, and which has been, it's an inspiration for so many. But is there one thing in your life that you want to change?
You mean in the activity which we are doing?
No, anything. Any one thing when you look back in your life. Are there things in your life that you wish had happened or had not happened?
That's a good question. I would mainly restrict it to the seva activities which we do. It's not a negative point I am making out, but I find so many people who have come for seva, they just try to have a mechanical face and try to do some writing and go away. I always used to feel these people have given up everything, like they have left their children at home, they have come all the way. Maybe this comparison may not be true, but when you look at overseas devotees, when they do something, they are bubbling. They are full of dynamism. They want to do it much better than what they are doing. So I always feel, even now I feel, our mobile hospital and staff and all are doing an excellent work. But a little more, that word what we use in English, that little bit, that extra bit, people, why they don't go in for? Because at the end of the day in seva, if you can lie down and, you know, look back at what all you did in the morning, if there can be one activity which you did which is not normally done or not expected of you and which benefited somebody, then I feel you'll be more happy. So always it has been a regret to me why, having understood the concept of seva and why coming all the way, but still they look half-hearted in their approach. And in this particular aspect, I know that no amount, we shouldn't talk at all about this. The only way we can bring about the transformation is again exemplifying more and more, doing more and more seva. And in fact, one individual, when I calmly asked him, he told me, sir, you can do like that, we cannot do like that.
Oh, he told that? I mean, you're not God. People telling that about somebody divine, you can understand. But someone whom they are seeing.
Meaning it may be that your nature is that, this is my nature. So you can't force people to.
But I think even though they say that, I think there's something in them will definitely keep questioning, you know, because if he's able to do, why is it that I'm not doing it?
But in general, you know, the work performance or whatever words you use is, I would really grade our mobile hospital staff are much better, meaning I have seen so many hospitals are much better. And again, in medical, you know, hospital management, if you can develop systems, then there is no scope for this, the quality falling down, you know. Systems are in place. But again, the systems will become more, you know, sort of useful for the sevak who is doing, if he can contribute a little more for that.
Everybody goes beyond their call of duty just to show, you know, that little bit shows how much they're interested in it. It shows their passion, that you just don't do it for the sake of doing, but you show that you love that work and you treat that work as divine. I think then, you know, that little bit is what makes all the difference.
Yes. Like, you know, when we give a referral letter to the patients, an official letter to go to the super specialty hospital, any time, you know, I sign and give it, invariably I'll make it a point to enact a small drama, like they'll first tell you, ippudu doctors ni chudalevu, ni token ledu, you don't have token, you can't. Then you should say, ledu naaku doctor checkup kaadu, naaku 112 room lo scanning chestha annaru, daniki vachanu, and still I write my phone number. I say, if you have any problem at the gate, you call me. So you can just write a referral letter and give it to them. But, you know, if you tell them the whole, you know, sequence
what will be
of
the situation,
what,
there?
Or situation, that means, that's what I say in medical, you know, in the situations, hospitals and all, the guidance given by people, there should be some volunteers with, may I help you?
Yes.
And these are the people who should, you know, guide them.
Especially when you're dealing with people who are poor and uneducated.
Sick already, poor, yeah, illiterate, yeah.
Yes. Now, when Bhagwan was there, you had the opportunity of physical interaction. You know, you got so many occasions when to clarify things from Bhagwan, and in fact, whatever projects you had in mind, initiatives you had in mind, you could go straight to Bhagwan and get his clearance. And when you mentioned the other occasion when Bhagwan said, you tell them that I have told.
Yeah.
And go, and so you could really, you perhaps had that huge support of Bhagwan to go ahead and implement your noble ideas. So how does it feel now? Does it feel too much of a challenging time now to run the mobile hospital, or in any way has it affected the functioning?
As I told you in the beginning, I didn't see Bhagwan for 3 years, even though I was in active seva. So that inbuilt, you know, strength I have with me, and I know ultimately that is also Bhagwan's only. But after Bhagwan's withdrawal of the physical frame, as I was mentioning a few minutes before, I had little apprehension that will the doctors keep coming. But they have really kept coming, and that again is because of the factors which I mentioned. First, the professional ambience which you create. You know, a doctor feels happy, like a neurophysician when he sat, we have what's called a neuro kit. All the small instruments used by a neurologist. And when I opened and showed it to him, he was so happy. He told me that even in his own clinic, he doesn't have many of these things. So you create that atmosphere wherein they feel happy to work, and more satisfied at the end of the day. And secondly, many of them are hardcore devotees also. And for them, nobody needs to tell that if Swami is not there, will you go for, don't go to Seva, or are you not going to go to Puttaparthi at all. So the combination of these two things. And thirdly, when you yourself lead from the front, working hard, as I always say, you need to work hard. I really don't feel much the absence of Bhagwan in his physical form. But when we are in an emotional state, or when we recall the personal this which we have, we really are in tears sometimes that Swami is not there. But as far as the work is concerned, I am not at all worried, because, you know, Swami is always there, that truth, we know that.
And also, the mobile hospital today has also become very fertile ground for good research. You had students coming from Cambridge to study and learn from this experiment. And I think now it is happening more and more. You find young doctors and medical students from India and abroad coming to learn. I think that is another avenue opening up. I don't know if you had envisaged that, but it's shaping up now academic institution also.
Yeah. And, you know, that happened automatically. We didn't make any conscious effort. The three or four components which went into that is, first thing is the service is regular. So the concept of follow-up is always there in the mobile hospital, which is very important in medical parlance. Second thing is availability of skilled manpower, like specialists belonging to 9 categories. And thirdly, you know, present of on-site diagnostics. That is, you can diagnose if possible on at the very place where you are having your service done. And fourthly, a good pharmacy. When these four components are there, patients will definitely come relating to each and every specialty. So when the youngsters come for, to the mobile hospital, they find that there is a rich amount of clinical cases, what we call academic atmosphere, which is there. And they feel happy that they should, you know, like as I told you, some of the students, you know, are telling me, Indian students who come now and then with their professors, if this type of rural seva is there, compulsory rural seva, definitely we are prepared to do, sir.
Oh.
Yes. But because the rural seva means it's a sham, we go there, there's only one primary health center doctor, and he takes leave by the time we go there, and we have to give this bottle medicine, crocin, B complex, no diagnostics. Who will be interested? They told me in the process, in 1 year, they'll forget everything what they had read.
You read about these newspapers where doctors are willing to even pay a fine, and but not go to the rural areas. And you think that, you know, here doctors are supposed to be going and, you know, they're shirking their responsibility. But the fact of the matter is something else. And they're saying, if I go, I will not be able to do anything. But if there is a system like this, they're willing to come.
Yeah. In fact, Dr. Chidambaram, the country's principal scientific advisor, when he came, when I explained to him, he told the same thing. This is something, you know, small common sense thing and a small innovation, but one which will really make matters much, much better than now. Like I told him, sir, here in this mobile hospital, the doctors go in the morning, do a good service, and evening they are back home. They need not stay in the villages. Why doctors don't join the services? Because once they are in the primary health center, their children's education suffers. There is no school worth its name in those places. So what he does, he keeps his family in the town, and half the time he's moving up and down, up and down. He becomes a split personality. So they don't dole out a good service. Whereas on the contrary, if you have a system wherein they do a good job and then they come back in the evening, it's like going to a software job and coming back.
Yes.
So this model of Bhagwan has a number of solutions to the problems which are plaguing the country's rural health delivery system.
I think now there is a lot of momentum that is created after the mobile hospital getting this award, and after so many years of phenomenal work. I think now there is a momentum which really wants to take this forward. What is your vision of the mobile hospital in the years to come?
Here again, though, I feel, as you said, that this has opened new vistas. But still, I feel when Mr. Chidambaram himself took the model, Mr. S.V. Giri had asked me to make a write-up and give it to him. The first month he was talking to Dr. Giri, but second month he told Mr. Giri the IAS officers are not still convinced unless they themselves come and see it. So in India, as you know, even though we wish something, even though we are confident it can take place, still there are so many ifs and buts which prevent it. So in the immediate future, I don't see something extraordinary is going to come in rural healthcare delivery.
At the national level?
Yeah, national level. But still, I feel that some other NGOs may be rather stimulated to take up such projects. Like in Hyderabad, we have a very good NGO. It's called Lepra Clinic. Not only leprosy, they treat tuberculosis and all. And in Andhra Pradesh itself, in Anantapur itself, you have the RDT. But RDT spoke once to me. They told us that we would like to come and see the project. So I said, you call up Mr. Chakravarti or somebody there and take their permission to come. They didn't come after that. They do so many programs, but this outreach medical service they have never planned. I don't know why.
Yeah, but that is looking at the entire scenario in India. But our specific mobile hospital, what is running from Puttaparthi, which you are in charge now, where do you think we can take this program forward? How do you think it can get better in the years to come?
See, the Satya Sai Seva organizations in the states and the districts, they really want to take up this seva. But to tell you the truth, the models which Bhagwan creates, you may not be able to replicate it exactly. Like the super specialty hospital, nowhere our Satya Sai Seva organization is able to, it's not possible, In the same way, to a certain extent, I would say the mobile hospital which is in Puttaparthi is what we call a multi-specialty mobile hospital. And there are so many loose threads which need to be tied before this works. So I have been telling them, instead of having multi-specialty mobile hospitals, think of uni or bi-specialty, but multiple in numbers. So that the net effect comes to the good work which like the SHSI Mobile Hospitality is doing. And because it is so easy for, they have samitis. The samiti can take, one samiti can take up Sri Satya Sai Rural ENT service, Sri Satya Sai Rural Dental service. And then, you know, all put together, the effect may be somewhere, you know, near to what we are doing. Because otherwise, you know, it's a very peculiar service where somebody needs to be there, you know, at the center point and available all the time. Good in certain skills like communication. And not only that, he should be a good doctor also. Yes. Because like I tell my specialists, I am the jack of all, master of none. But still, I also know that I know to a reasonable extent about all the specialties. Because I am a physician, basically. A physician is at an advantage. He knows so many things. And for me, even by experience, I know. And so that's how I interact with all the specialties. So what I feel is, instead of buying such big buses and, you know, going through the ordeal of seeing that the service goes on, at least to a reasonable extent, the samiti should plan uni-specialty or bi-specialty services. And for those specialties, the requirements are very minimal. A Tata Sumo vehicle, equipments pertaining to that specialty, one doctor of that specialty, a few paramedics. They reach a village, quickly they set up the whole thing. And in the beginning only, you keep telling the villagers and the village heads that this is going to be exclusive ENT hospital. You can't expect other doctors. If you convince them, any villager will agree. I'm so sure of it. And there can be a general doctor who can give some medicines like first aid. So one side, the ENT rural goes on, the other side, the dental. So Hyderabad district, for example, can have about 15 to 26 services. We have, I think, about 20 or 25 samitis. I have told them frankly, that would be, I put it in writing also. But still, I hope the Chennai people who are going to take up this mobile hospital, they really, you know, see that all the doctors pertaining to the 9 specialties which I mentioned, they all come, and I hope that they will be able to do a good work.
Wonderful. I think that is something which is a fallout of so many years of hard work and being an example. And I think it's always heartening when you see Swami's model of healthcare is being in some ways at least replicated, if not in entirety, in some ways, because this philosophy has to go out. And everything that Bhagwan built around here is a model, and people should get inspired and should emulate.
Yeah.
So I think that is very heartening. Finally, how would you like to be remembered, sir?
Perhaps as an individual who believed in hard work, who believed in seva, and who believed the seva should be under the auspices of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, sir. I think that one line encapsulated everything that you and your all these years of dedicated service stand for. It is this passion to serve and devotion to Bhagwan. I think that is what is...
Exactly, it summarizes.
That is what is your life, and that is the inspiration that all of us need to take. And let us pray to Bhagwan that in some ways all of us are determined to bring some positive change in others' lives. As you mentioned, to some patients, you say, if not anything, at least chant Samastha Loka. I think there is no one in this world who cannot do service. Even if you are a patient who is paraplegic, you can still be on the bed and you can still wish for someone's welfare. And I think the spirit of service, as you mentioned, which is the core of creation, that should permeate in all of us. Thank you very much, sir, for all your time. It has been a very, very long session, I know.
Thank you, Bishu and Hari.
Whatever we have got, these are the pearls of wisdom. These are very, very diamonds that we have got, actually, very cherished diamonds that we really want to disseminate and share, so that we help everyone who is interested in this path. And this is the path that Bhagwan has laid down, and we all should march on. Thank you very much, sir.
Sai Ram.
So that was Dr. Narasimhan. You heard Hari Shankar and myself talking to him and trying to gather those pearls of wisdom that he had received from Bhagwan, trying to document a life of such an exalted devotion, a life of such discipline, a life of such dedication and commitment to Bhagwan's mission. And this is something that we need to listen again and again, because to my mind, Bhagwan has shaped him like an ideal of service, and we really need to see what is it, what is that one thing at least can we take and implement in our lives so that we too can shine as little sparks of His love, little beacons of His beautiful mission of spreading Ananda to everyone. And with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Please feel free to send your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Finally, from all of us at Radio Sai, a sweet goodbye and loving Sairam from Prashant Nilayam.